You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Hi, Rachel. How you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. I actually just got a text in about Neighbourhood Watch. Someone said it's their favourite segment on the show.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So lots of Aussie love for you today.
Awesome.
Yeah. So just going to jump in. So a senator's maiden speech was so racist, it was critiqued by Pauline Hanson, is it?
Yes. So one of our new senators, Fraser Anning, gave his maiden speech this week, and he's one of our far-right senators, and basically made the most controversial speech you could possibly make. So he essentially advocated for a return to the White Australia policy, saying that our immigration should be based pretty much entirely on bringing people with European Christian values. He called for a total ban on Muslim immigration, and he used the phrase final solution, which basically managed to offend pretty much every single person in Parliament, including Pauline Hanson, who is widely considered Australia's most racist politician.
Wow. What exactly was in the speech, if you don't mind repeating?
It's basically pretty much anything that you could imagine a far-right senator talking about. So he spoke a little bit about farming and business, and then essentially just went into a rant on gender politics and spent a large amount of time essentially talking about what he calls the Muslim problem, and bringing up Islamic terrorism, basically quoting either misused or completely false statistics on Muslim unemployment and all that kind of thing. And yeah, it's basically just caused this massive outcry from pretty much everyone. There was a movement in Parliament backed by both sides of government to condemn it and to condemn the White Australia policy. We're going to see, I think, a protest in the football on the weekend. And it's basically just dominated Australian news this week.
Of course. And of course, with Pauline Hanson being so oppositional to non-European immigration, that's quite a big statement for her to not be in support of it, isn't it?
Yes, but it's interesting because once you take the words final solution out of the speech, you essentially get essentially exactly what her policy is. I think what it really does show is the amount of interesting characters that have been let into the Senate recently. I mean, Fraser Anning, he came in off the back of Pauline Hanson as part of her party following the dual citizenship saga, immediately dumped Pauline Hanson for another party, and he, in the last federal election, actually only got 19 primary votes for himself. So he's barely been democratically elected into his position, and he's now using that position to spew some particularly controversial opinions that are essentially just full of hate.
So we're having protests at the football. What other reactions from the public and in Parliament are there to this speech?
I think the most powerful things have definitely been what's come in Parliament. We've had a very emotional speech from Anne Ali, who's one of the Muslim parliamentarians. We've had a speech from Lucy Gachui, who is an African parliamentarian in the Senate. And yeah, it's just been dominating news, with everyone from the left and the right condemning it, essentially because of the phrase final solution being used when talking about a ban on Muslim immigration.
Jumping into the proposed energy plan, so government can't seem to really settle on what the right choice is in this matter. Is that so?
Yes. So the government has adopted a policy that they're trying to push through that is called the National Energy Guarantee, or the NEG. But they're having a lot of troubles from the opposition, but they're also having a lot of troubles with the right-wing people within their own party. So this week there's been a lot of discussions about some right faction members of the government threatening to cross the floor and vote against the policy. But the big problem is that the opposition would like the carbon emissions target to be essentially doubled from what it currently is, which is trying to meet the Paris Agreement. But the government members who are in opposition essentially want the emissions target to be halved. So they're really caught between a rock and a hard place because they can't really convince one side without alienating the other side.
Mm. What I've heard, just because I have a friend in politics over in Australia, actually, coal is seemingly the solution from the right side of your government because it's cheaper. How does that work into the framework of the argument?
Yes, I think the big thing that they're talking about is essentially trying to make power prices cheaper, whereas I guess on the left wing side of things, the main goal is to make it more environmentally friendly. But the National Energy Guarantee, as it stands, is not about focusing on coal, and it's not about focusing on renewables either. It's about trying to simplify the market and make sure that there is a bit of both and there's a bit of gas to make sure that energy is reliable and that it is cheaper, but that we are sort of fulfilling our obligations in regards to the Paris Agreement. But it's on the right wing side of things, there is a real obsession with coal at the moment, and the main priority for them really seems to be making sure that the government is investing perhaps more in coal than any research suggests should be necessary, both in reliability and cost terms.
Mm. Well, it'll be interesting to see where that story goes in terms of what government actually gets to crack down on.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So there's a Australian bushfire season is happening at the minute. How many bushfires have happened in New South Wales currently?
Well, I was actually just checking up on this morning because it's really just a constantly changing thing, bushfires. Apparently over the past week, we've had something like 70 to 80 bushfires across the state of New South Wales. And we spoke about New South Wales last week being pretty much entirely in drought after a really dry winter. And it's looking like it's not just affecting farms and stock, it's also causing all of these bushfires, and we're still in winter.
Mm. So is this quite different to past seasons?
Yeah, I think earlier in the winter, it was decided that we would push what we refer to as our fire season forward about 2 months this year. So we essentially saw it coming that there was going to be a risk, but there's a real concern given that our usual bushfire season mainly centres around January and February, that if we're having homes threatened in August, that once it gets to those really hot summer months, everywhere in Australia is just essentially going to be a powder keg, and we're going to be really, really struggling to try and keep everyone safe and all of their homes safe.
Wow, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
That is all the time we have, but I look forward to talking with you next week, Rachel.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you too.
Okay, see ya.
Bye.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.